Hello again, Ray Yurt with a few more thoughts on the Word of God. In this little series of addresses, we've been thinking about the importance of our words, and our words are important. Jesus showed just how important our words are when he said that they would be used on the day of judgment. And in each of these talks, I've started by reading what Jesus said as it's recorded in Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 to 37. Jesus said this, and I'm reading from the middle of verse 34. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. How important our words are. We've been looking at some people who come across the pages of Scripture and thinking about how some of the words they used might be used against them when the judgment comes. In this little talk, I want to think about two characters, Felix and Agrippa. It's quite easy to join them together in our thoughts because they were both involved in judging the Apostle Paul when he was being accused of various things and was ultimately on his way to be tried before Caesar. And in Acts chapter 24 and verses 24 to 27, Felix comes into the picture. It says, and after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, if there was something that Paul could talk about with great authority, it was the faith in Christ. He could preach the gospel, and Felix was privileged to hear Paul speak on this subject. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, Felix was afraid. In fact, the Authorized Version says Felix trembled. He was so affected by what he heard that he trembled. And he answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him the more often and conversed with him. He heard the gospel more than once, and yet the only word we have from him here is that he says to Paul, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. Verse 27 says, but after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix. And Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left Paul bound. So Felix heard the gospel, trembled as he heard the gospel, knew the implications of it for his life, and yet he says, no, not now. I'll put it off. Perhaps an easier time will come. Perhaps a convenient time will come to respond. Are you like that? Am I like that? When the challenge of God is made to us, do we say, no, not just now? When you're challenged to confess your sins and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, do you say, I know what you're talking about, and it really moves me? but not now, not yet. If those words are brought up against Felix, then he would be condemned, for we never read of him coming to know the Lord as his own personal Saviour. Then another man who tried Paul in the same way and heard his defence is Agrippa, and he's talked about in Acts 26. Verse 1 says, "Then Agrippa said to Paul, 'You are permitted to speak for yourself.' So Paul stretched out his hand and answered for himself." And Paul was always very clear as he answered for himself. Down in verse 13 of that chapter, Paul is giving his testimony and he says, "At midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you.'" And he became the great apostle to the Gentiles. "To open their eyes, in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." My, it couldn't have been made clearer to Agrippa what the claims of Christ are, what the gospel is, what the implications were for his own life. His eyes would be opened. He would be turned from darkness to light. He would be delivered from the power of Satan and brought to serve God. He would receive forgiveness of sins. He would have an eternal inheritance to look forward to just by placing his faith and his life in the hands of Jesus. Verses 27 to 29 of that same chapter read this way. Paul says, "King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets?" So, like many good preachers, he gives a direct challenge to the person who's listening. "How about you, King Agrippa? Do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to be a Christian." And Paul said, "I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains." And here, if Agrippa never took it any further, these words that he used will be quoted against him in the judgment. "I've almost become a Christian. You almost persuade me to become a Christian. I know the implications. I know what it will mean for me in a change of life and a transformation. But I know it will make the difference between heaven and hell to me. But I'm not doing it yet. I'm almost there. But I'm not going to go through with it." I trust that wouldn't be what you would say. May you neither be like Felix nor Agrippa. May you never think that there'd be a more convenient time to become a believer than right now if you have never taken that step. May you not be content to say, "I've almost become a Christian," because almost is not good enough. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Amen.